9:47, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. As we'd been talking about a few minutes ago, a business here in Chicago celebrating their 95th anniversary is always quite a special event, but Southport Lanes in Chicago, 3325 North Southport, it really is a special place. In the last couple of days, they have been throwing a 95th anniversary party there. Steve Sobel is their owners and is with us this morning. Steve, congratulations on this big event.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning. I wish I could say I was around for the original opening, but that was a long time ago.
I'll bet you. I'll bet you have people popping in who you know were original customers. You know, might come by and have a schlitz at the bar.
Sure. Well, actually, you know, it's funny. We have four lanes, which are handset by pin boys or pin people, however you want to call them. And I can't tell you how many times people come in and say, you know, I used to set pins here for, you know, a nickel a line or a dime a line. And that's great. It's great that we've been around for that long.
Yeah. Talk to me a little about the history of Southport Lanes.
Sure. Well, Southport Lanes was actually built originally at the turn of the last century by the Schlitz Brewing Company. It was one of the tide houses, and they built probably 8 to 10 different bars around Chicago to sell Schlitz beer. That became against the law, and then with Prohibition starting, Southport Lanes was really founded in 1922 when the lanes were put in. And then it became sort of a house of ill repute. Like many Chicago speakeasies, there was a brothel upstairs. Yes. And if you go into Southport, there's still the original mural above the bar, which sort of gives a hint to what's to come if you go upstairs and enjoy the place. And
you use them now for special events upstairs now, right?
No. Upstairs is actually our office. The people we bought it from, actually, Leo Bites, he actually grew up in that apartment. So said they took away all the indications of what was going on upstairs.
All the remnants,
growing up. Yeah.
Of different kind of special events that were going on upstairs. Yeah.
Exactly. And in fact, there's still a dumbwaiter. What we now use as the shoe cabinet, there's a dumbwaiter that is still there. And still can work, and that was how they got the drinks up to the girls and their clients.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So a different time.
That's hilarious. And this was a hangout, as I understand it, for then Mayor Anton Cermak as well, right?
That's correct. There was when we got in there, there was a secret room right in the front of the building. You didn't even know it was there, but Leo, when he showed us around, he said, yeah, that's where Anton Cermak used to hold a weekly card game. Which was great. And then in the back of the building is more of the crazy history of Southport. There was a new building built in the 40s that was an off-track betting facility. We found 100 phone lines, and Leo again told us what was going on back there.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love these, Chicago history stories of businesses and places like this. You go someplace and you sit down and a bartender starts telling you stories about what used to happen there, 75 years ago, and who used to frequent the place. But the bowling alley, I think, for Southport is definitely one of the things that makes it so special. The bowling alleys came in what year?
1922,
and were virtually the same as they are right now. I'm sure there must have been a temptation by some owner through the years to let's modernize this place and get rid of the pin people who are back there manually resetting the pins, right?
Absolutely, but it's such a critical part of our identity and what we are all about. And also it's a piece of history, and I think people really enjoy that. And when they come into Southport Lanes, they're going to see how the game of bowling really truly started. So it's really special.
Yeah. So describe that behind the scenes and what's that like back there for these? I imagine you have more than one person resetting the pins, even though it's only four lanes.
We actually have two back there at all times. It's really, really hard work, actually. And there's a reason why they why machines have been put in. But there's one pin chaser for both, or pin setter for two lanes. And our motto is, if you see legs, don't bowl. It can get pretty dangerous, but it's hard work. And they, I'm so glad that we still have people that are willing to do this.
Yeah, that's amazing. And are these, you know, students, young people who, you know, kind of, this seems like this would be sort of a coveted job to me. It would be like being a bat boy at Wrigley Field almost.
I wish you were that popular. When we bought the place, there were a lot of high school students, and over the years, high school students, college students, over the years, it's become kind of a job where people take, like people who work in our kitchen will do a couple nights of setting pins. So it's actually pretty hard to find someone that's willing to do it, even though they get tipped, and even though in a true Chicago fashion, you can, let's say, enhance your score by tipping. There's a little corruption going on. A lot of perfect games.
Yeah, a little
perfect games. It's up brilliant.
A little fin or 10 spot in one of the bowling ball fingers can
exactly
influence on what's happening back there.
Always. My pin boys can be bought, apparently.
Okay, all right. It's good to know that right up front. When did you take over the bar, Steve?
1991.
Okay, so you've been... And since 91, I've noticed lots of changes there. I mean, it's really, you've turned it into really kind of a multi-purpose kind of location in addition to this historic bowling alley.
That's right. We put in, it was sort of a almost like a social club game room. We have six pool tables in the back room where you can play pool, and obviously it's a full bar and restaurant. We've updated the building over the years while still trying to keep an eye on the historic preservation of the space. So we've always tried to be conscious of the history of the building, the space, and what's been going on there. So we're really proud of the way it looks now, but there's a long history of renovations and changes to South Park Lanes over the years, mostly behind the scenes.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about this neighborhood. I mean, you know, much like Wrigleyville itself, that, you know, was kind of a forgotten neighborhood. Now, you know, the area right around the ballpark itself is, to me, is starting to look like Times Square in New York with all the building that they're doing there. But Southport Avenue has also undergone pretty much of a change. And, you know, you are one of the major anchors of that for decades.
That's right. It's funny, when we got there, we were so excited when a Starbucks came up the street. We're like, oh, we've arrived. But now, you know, a lot of people have come in, renovated the buildings. It's become really a mecca in Lakeview. And we really are sort of the one of the last old players on Southport. And hopefully we can stay there for a while longer. But it's really, it's been a lot of changes. I mean, when we first started, there were we would get our pin setters and our bartenders and servers would get held up after work. I mean, it was crazy 25 years ago, and
yeah,
to see the changes
kinda,
that have gone up.
Seedy. It was, yeah, it was a little on the seedy side not too long ago, and now
exactly.
It's one of the most upscale neighborhoods in Chicago. You know, the properties around there are some of the highest priced properties around there, and bringing, you know, very upscale families. It's become really kind of a family destination. You can't go up and down Southport without, you know, you have to negotiate the strollers and, you know, the little kids running around and puppies and, you know, all that. You know, turned around 100% through the years.
One of the big, I remember distinctly the first time we looked at each other and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to get a high chair. That was a big change for us. So getting a high chair and booster seats were definitely a symbol of change at Southport.
Yeah. And what kind of food are you serving at Southport these days?
So we serve sort of traditional bar and grill fare, burgers, wings, but we try to do it in an elevated style. We've been very successful for so long, giving people more than what they expected. So it might have the look of a shot in a beer joint when you walk in, but I think everybody who comes in and tries the food is amazed at how great our food is. We do a really great job at making things fresh on site all the time, and we're real happy with where we are right now.
Yeah, I got to say, for years I've enjoyed your pulled pork sandwich there. Really delicious. Great burgers there as well. But friends of mine who are vegetarians say they love going to Southport because they love the selection of vegetarian burgers and salads and things that you have there as well. Really a little something for everyone there.
Well, thank you, and thank you to your vegetarian friends for coming in. We appreciate that. We do try.
Give me the address and the hours and, you know, all that. So if folks haven't been to Southport Lanes and Billiards in a long time, they can stop in.
Sure. We're located at 3325 North Southport, which is right near the Brown Line Southport L stop. We're open every day at 4 o'clock, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we open at noon for lunch. So it's a great place like today to come in and watch some football games. The Bears are on a bye week, but we've got lots of other games on. So, yeah, it's a great place to go and just hang out with your friends.
Well, happy 95th anniversary. It's just one of the great Chicago spots that everyone needs to check out. Steve Sobel, the owner of Southport Lanes. Enjoy your day today, and thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
Thank you, Dean. Really appreciate it.